Lord. Parshat Noah. I'm going to start the story of little Abraham and the big idol. Everyone knows the story, right? Right, where he breaks all the idols. We know that story, right? And everyone knows where to find that in the Torah, right?
It's
No,
not
it's
in
not. It's not.
the
Yeah, everyone knows, right? It's a trick
Torah.
question. Yeah, you heard it so many times. And here we are. So, but let's look at where it comes from. Go. Rabbi Chiya bar Issa is from Breishit Rabbah. It's a Medrash. It's a Medrash Rabbah. Rabbi Chiya bar Braid Rav Ada Diafo said the following: Terach Oved Tzlamim Haya. Terach was an idol maker. He worked on idols. Okay, and this is talking about Vayamat Haran with Terach, that Haran died during the lifetime of Terach's father. And Terach has four, three children: Avram, Nachor, and Haran. And Haran dies. Terach was a idol worker, not just worshiper. Chazman nafik la'ater. One day he left to go someplace. Hoshiv la'Avraham mocher tachtav. He left Abraham selling, minding the store in his place. Hava'ate bar inish bay dezavin. And some guy comes in and wants to buy. Hava amar la. And he would say, and Abraham told the guy, Bar Kamash Ninat, and he would ask, how old are you? Ave Amar Le, and the person would answer, Bar Chamshin or Shitin, I'm 50 or 60 years old, young man. Ave Omer Le, Vile, Oy, Ve, Lahugar, for this poor guy, just saying in the air, the Havi Bar Shitin, is 60 years old, Vile Mesked Le Bar Yomen, he's going to go bow down to this thing that's only a day old, brand new. You see the manufacturer date right on the bottom of the idol. I mean, buy it for the clothes, so the customer would be embarrassed and would just walk out. It's not good for business. Atachad itata. One day a woman came in to ina biyadeh chada panach the solet with a big bowl of solet of fine flour. Amalei, and the woman says to him, Halach krav kadmehon. Go, we're going to offer this an offering to all these idols you've got in the store. Kam nasiv b'kulsa biyadeh. So Abraham took a hammer in his hands. Tavrina lakuli pasile, and he broke all the idols. Yav b'kulsa biyadeh de rabba de have b'nehon. And but he left the biggest one intact and left the hammer in the hands of the big idol. Came to Atavua when his father came back. Amalei, his father said, Man avid lahun kedin. Avram, what happened? Amalei, so he said, Man achvinach. Abraham says, I cannot tell a lie. And it proceeds to tell
Lie.
a lie. Right. A woman came to ina lechada panach the solet. Okay, she came in with a bowl of fine flour. Barmit le, and she told me, "Halach kariv k'mehon, go offer this in front of them." Rabbi
What
l'kavon
is the
kadmehon,
word that kid cut me on?
kodem, in front of home them.
Oh.
Hi, halach, this is for you. Kariv, offer kadmehon in front of them. Rabbi l'kadmehon, so I offered it in front of them. Haveden Amar Ana Echu Kadmai. And then one of them started saying, I want to eat first. Then Amar Ana Echu Kadmai. And the other one said, I want to eat first. Kamaden Rabba to have a benihon. And this really big one that was there, Nasib Bakulsev Tabrinon, picked up the hammer and started breaking all of them. Amar, so his father looks at him and says, Ma'amat Mafoli, are you kidding me? Yadinan Inun, did these real things really think and speak? Really think.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
Amar Le, so Abram says back to him, Lo yishmuna aznecha ma shepicha omer, can't your ears hear what your mouth is saying? So Terach takes Abraham and brings him to Nimrod, king of Babel. Amar Le, and they engage in a theological debate. Nimrod says, Neskud l'nura, we should bow down to the fire. Fire guy, all powerful. Abrams is back. We missed good Lamaya, the Matzvin Nero. Maybe we should bow down to the water, which puts out the fire. Right? Because we know that, right? Atamaya Kavala Nura. Okay. Amarle Nimrod. So Nimrod said, fine, let's go to Lamaya. Okay, that's a pretty good god. We'll go with the water god. Amarle, so Abrams says back, okay, Nisgud La Nana de Tain Maya. So we should bow down to the clouds that are bearing the water. Amarle, Nisgud La Nana, okay. We can go, we can I'm okay with that. Let's bow down to the clouds. Amarle, okay, Nisgud La Rucha de Mevader Anana. So maybe we should bow to the wind god that blows the clouds. Amarle, Nisgud La Nerucha. Okay, we'll bow to the wind god. Amarle, Nisgud La Bar Inish de Sabel Rucha. We should bow down to human beings who can stand in front of the wind. Amarle. So Nimrod says back, Milin at Mishtai. You're just playing with words. That word, Nishta, Shashua. You're just playing with word. Ani eni mishtachave ela la'or. I bow down to the fire. That's my God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw you into the furnace. We'll see who's the really powerful God here. Let's see what your God can do. She can come. And your God should save you. Abataman Haran. So his brother Haran was there. Kayim Palug, and he was torn, Palug divided. Amarle, and Haran is there and thinks to himself, Manafshach.
Wait, I missed something. Who came after the wind?
The wind was the human being. That's good labar in Insha. Maybe
Oh.
people can stand in front of the wind. Maybe we should worship people. And he's
Oh.
fine. No, we're not. That's you're we're just play, you're just wasting my time. You're just playing with words at this point. Okay. There are lots of gods out there. We're gonna I serve the powerful fire god. Let's see if your god can save from my powerful fire god.
But he didn't say who his God was or that he had a different God.
Who, Abraham?
Yeah.
No, he's not explicitly saying that here. Okay? That is part of the backstory, right? He's breaking all the idols because he doesn't really believe in idols, and he. It's not it, right. It's not explicit here. I mean, clearly, Abraham at this point is already pushing against polytheism.
But he. What's his nothing? It seems like there's no nothing. Doesn't sound like I have one God.
No, not in this, but within, I mean, part of the other midrash in the backstory that this is already the point where Abraham has figured that out. As well as before Lach Lecha, he's figured out the idea of God. There's one God that created the world, the midrash of him looking at the world and like having a building lit up and there must be an
Yeah,
owner of
it's
it.
like a missing detail in the story. Okay.
Okay, I mean, all right, that's behind that.
Okay.
So, I
No,
mean, we're going to
it's
make
good.
the point later that this is not a little baby, little boy Abraham here. He is a full adult. And this is
Oh.
okay. This is it reflects a bigger issue here. But we have the Haran question, which is what was the side point, but the pasuk is on how Haran dies before him to his father. But Haran, his brother, is there with it. Or mimanafshach, either way. Im netzach Abraham, anamar min Abraham. Abraham wins this battle. I'm going to say I'm on Abraham's side. Netzach Nimrod, anamar de Nimrod. Nimrod business battle. I'm going to say I'm on Nimrod's side. Abraham goes in the furnace and he comes out whole. And Rashi points out that's basically from taken from the story of Daniel and Daniel's friends were thrown into the furnace. So Daniel, Amrin Le, the Manat, and they turn to Haran and say, okay, whose side are you on? Amar Lahun, min Abram Ana, I'm with Abraham. And so they throw him into the furnace, bin Nachmor bin Amav, and he's burned. Yetzah umit, and he's brought out, and he dies of his injuries with alpenei terach against
No.
his father. Vayamot Haran alpenei terach, and that's what Haran dies of.
Oh.
That's the midrash. All right, Haran is just going to go with whoever has the best miracles. So that's the midrash there. And what's the story in the Torah? It's in our parsha. The famous hit. Secret history of Abraham Avinu. Next week's parsha starts with Lech Lecha. He's called to go out to Eretz Canaan. before that, end of our parsha, we have the details. Vayechi Terach, 70 shana, Terach lived for 70 years, Vayolad Ad Avram et Nachor et Haran, and at that point he had three sons, Avram, Nachor, and Haran. El Tola Terach, and this is the generations of Terach. Terach holed at Avram et Nachor et Haran, has these three sons, Haran holed at Lot, Haran's son was named Lot, so Lot is Avram's nephew. Vayomar Haran al pnei Terach aviv, and Haran died before, in the or literally in the lifetime of, before Terach's father, Eretz Molato, the place where he was born, Ur Kasdim, in the city of the Chaldeans, also Babylonians. Okay, so that's the connection with this Ur as being the Aramaic word for furnace. Vaykach Avram and Nachor lehem nashim, and Avram and Nachor both married. Shem Eshet Avram Sarai, Avram's wife's name Sarai, Shem Eshet Nachor Milcah, and Nachor's wife is Milcah, Bat Haran, who is actually the daughter of Haran, Avi Milcah of Avi Yiska. So Nachor explicitly marries his niece. The Midrash says that Yiska is also the same as Sarai, that's also his niece, but that's not in the shot here. That's the origin of the name Jessica, in case you like the name Jessica.
Oh, that's cool. Oh. I didn't know that.
No, I do. I know someone named Yiska.
Yiska, there you go. It's Jessica. It's
but
it's
I didn't know it was Jessica.
But he's Sarai Akara, I love a lion. Sarai doesn't have any children. That's a Chekhov's gun, right? That's foreshadowing, right? Pay attention to that detail. Sarai doesn't have any children.
Right, because it's kind of randomly stuck in between this story of the generations.
Right. Vaykach Terach at Avram Beno, and Terach took Avram his son, that Lot ben Haran ben Beno, and Lot Haran's. And Lot, who is Haran's son, who's grandson, that Sarai Kalato, Eshet Avram, and went with Sarai, Avram's wife. Vayitzu Itam Me'ur Kasdim, and he went with them out of Ur Kasdim. Lechet Arzakan, they were going to go to Canaan.
Right.
Terach is going to Canaan, Vayvo Ar Haran, but they get to Haran, so if you think about the geography, they're going to the Fertile Crescent. You can't go from Ur, which is southern Iraq, straight east into, straight west into Eretz Yisrael, because you've got the great desert there. They go north into northern Iraq through Syria, and then go back south. South, Haran is northern Syria, northern Iraq. They're in Haran, basically Kurdistan. Okay, they get to Haran, but Yisrael, they settle there. They don't make it all the way to Canaan. But you make Terach HaMesh Shanim V'Taim Shana, and Terach lives for 205 years. Vayamot Terach b'Haran. Terach dies there in Haran. Okay, that's what we get for the origin story.
Rabbi Foreman does a whole thing on this little piece, and says it tells us a lot about Avraham and why God saw that he was the one to be the father of monotheism. Because he does a chesed here, it's like a pre-Yibum kind of chesed.
We're talking about looking at Yiska. Is that right?
With his brother's
daughter.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That they're both of them marry their brother's daughter as well. Okay, yeah. That's interesting. My former is value to Yibum. Yibum is an important thing. Okay. But where does Agada come from? Okay, that he's brought for Nimrod, he's thrown into the fire, he's miraculously escaped. Where do we see hints of what's going on? The answer's got to be it's when Vayetu Eitam the Ur Kasdim. They left Ur Kasdim. They leave Ur. Ur is again the furnace. They leave the capital. Ur was the capital of ancient Babylon. They head to the wild unknowns of Canaan. They don't make it all the way there. Right, Terach and Avram and his family. They still in Haran. And then eventually Avram is called to complete the journey. And then Hashem later reminds Avram that he escaped from Haran. This is it was from Ur, rather. This is the big deal. It wasn't just he walked out. This was a Yetziyah.
Oh, just like Hetzitich HaMeretz Mitzrayim.
Right. At Brit Matarim, Hashem said, Vayomer Lav, Ani Hashem, I am the Lord, Asher Tziticha Me'ur Kasdim. I took you out of Ur Kasdim. Okay? So you can inherit this land here. That there was a hutsa'ah there. There's something happened in Ur Kasdim. They left. So that's what we're going to focus on. And then we're going to look back. Where does Nimrod fit into this? We haven't seen any Nimrod here. So we look at the previous parak. This is the after the flood. And we have this peek into contemporary, not contemporary nap, contemporary to Avraham politics.
Oh,
okay,
right.
I don't do contemporary to nap.
Oh, huh.
No, you don't do that.
Yeah. Right, right. This is contemporary.
Okay, let's clarify.
Okay. So here we have the story of humanity after the flood. We have Cush, descendant of Ham. Cush Nimrod. Whose son was Nimrod? Who echel yoki baba? All right, he began to be a hero in the land. Who yigbar gibor tzai lifnei Hashem? He was a great hero before God. Al ken yamar ken Nimrod gibor tzai lifnei Hashem, and then on people would say like Nimrod, the great hero. Vatehi reshit mamlachto, and he the beginning of his kingdom. Right, it's the first time we have a melech. It was first melech. Reshit mamlachto is Bavel. Arad, Achad, Bechalne, Be'eretz Shinar.
Oh, it says Arach here. Is it supposed to be
Arach, Ba'akad?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Those are places. It's Bavel in the land of Shinar. In English, would be Sumer.
Sumer.
Sumer, right? And then right after that, Perkut Alf, we have the story of Migdal Bavel.
Is that still there? Try. I just went over this with Eitan. We're doing the Asia. I don't know.
Sumer I mean, they've excavated it.
What is it?
It's in,
where is it?
Shinar?
Sumer, ancient civilization.
Oh, Sumer.
Sumer.
Ancient
okay, so it's over
Sumer.
Here. Right, so let's get a good picture over here. Here we go. So there's Ur. This is the nation of Sumer. There's Ur over there.
So okay. Where are we in modern day?
Let's fix
it. Is this like India? Is this near India?
No, it's Iraq. That's the Tigris and Euphrates. Eretz Yisrael is here. So there's Sumer. Okay, Babylon will be named somewhere in there, but that's, so you see where Ur is? And they got, Haran is up here, so they got to go up north and then south down to here to get Canaan.
Okay.
Well, they're going to the coast.
I guess they're just vacationing in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Okay. They're leaving civilization is the key part. You got civilization over here, you got civilization down here in Egypt, and you got barbarians over here. There's nobody there. Okay. Okay, so what happens? In his kingdom, we have the story of Migdal Bavel, right? He's king of Bavel. They call Arat Safa Achat B'Dvarim Achadim. The whole world was one language and unified words. Benisam Mikedem, and when they traveled from the east, into Bikaba Eretz Shinar, they went to this valley in the land of Shinar, which we just looked at. Beishom, they settled there, and they built a tower, and we dealt with that in great detail. And then Vayifitz Hashem Otam Misham Perech Aretz, and Hashem scatters them around the whole land. After destroying the tower, by Lubnotair, and they stopped building this city. Akein Krashma Bavel. That's why it's called Bavel. Kisham Balal Hashem Safat Kol Aretz. That's why Hashem confused all the land. Kisham Epitzam Hashem Al Pnei Kol Aretz. That's happening at the same time as that's while Abraham is growing up. Is this establishment of Bavel in the United Newark at the times, as the Nitziv says in the Emek Dabar, that Nimrod was the Gibor Ba'aretz. Inyan Mulucha. That's when the idea of a unified of kingdom became Ligaber, Lashur, Lashim, to rule over, and Lashur is to spy. The Emek Dabar lived in Russia where they really were experts in secret police. It was in the Tsar's time. But that's why he looks at the tower was a way of spying on everybody, panopticon, keeping control. And the truth is that Hashem wanted some kind of government. So the world would survive. That Nimrod's kingdom was basically a response to the chaos of the flood. It's the mission of the book that if not for fear of government, everyone would consume the other. You can't have chaos. So Nimrod's the king of Babylon, they build a tower, unites everyone together, but it becomes a fascist state.
What is the literal meaning of fascist?
That literally is refers to the symbol of the bundle of sticks, as a fascist in Latin. So Mussolini coined the term, and his expression was everything in the
Who?
state. Mussolini,
Oh, Mussolini. Okay.
dictator of Italy,
Yes. Yeah,
the
yeah.
term
I just didn't hear what you said.
fascist party that we're all united. Everything in the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state. We all work for the government.
That's interesting because I thought fascism was like the opposite of communism.
Well, it's like one of the opposites where it comes around, it comes back at the beginning.
Right. Okay.
Okay, and the idea was that, so under fascism, wasn't so much that there was no private industry. You could have your private property, you just had to be using it in a way that the state would allow you to do it. You're dealing with communism, that the government owns everything. Fascism is not the
Right.
case. All working together, and the government will tell you know that the government will tell you what to do. But that's the way, and we've talked about that pretty extensively, as being this sort of the other extreme from chaos of Dora Mabel. Dora Flugel was the other extreme.
Right.
We kind of put together. Okay, but if you work out the chronology, look at the timing through here, through everyone's ages. Avraham was 48 at the time of Tower of Babel. Okay, presuming that's corresponding to his Midrashic confrontation with Nimrod.
Why would you assume?
That
I'm 40 at the
we
time of
get
the Tower of
Nimrod
Babel.
from Migdal Bavel, and that's being put into the Midrash here as he's confronting Nimrod, who's the king.
Nimrod is
Because
Sam's
he's the
brother.
king, so if he's the king, it must be. And then you figure out that at that time he would have been 48. How do we figure out if he was 48? By going, I mean, he has everybody's ages, how old they were
Right.
when they were born. You can go through the timing on it.
So he wasn't really five.
He wasn't
That's what you're
5 years
saying.
old. Okay, he's about 48 at the time that if there was a con there presumably was a confrontation of some kind. Avraham is the iconoclast. Migdal Babel is happening, and he's leaving. He's not a little kid at all. Okay, which is okay if his father's leaving him in charge of the store, right? That he would be, let's say, a little kid.
Right.
So he's
Okay.
arguing with his father about the nature of monotheism and idolatry, and dad, this doesn't make any sense. You can't do this. So then, what's Terach doing bringing before Nimrod? Or interesting, the Peshat. Why is Terach leaving Ur? He just said he leaves. He goes. He explicitly leaves. Not just he's going toward Canaan. He's leaving Ur. Okay, so the incredibly important Ramban, teaching us something about the nature of Agadah, about teaching it seriously, not literally. This is the way. This is Ramban about this story. The Al Pnei Terach Aviv bears Moladato. Rashi, Kederach Divrei Rabbeinu. Okay, then we're going to quote Rashi, who quotes the Midrash. Terach Kibel Avram Beno Lifnei Nimrod Al Shivriyat Salamo V'Shlichu Kivshan. That Terach imposed on Abraham, brought him before Nimrod about breaking all the idols, and they threw him into the furnace. He was miraculously saved. This is the furnace of the Chaldeans, of the Babylonians. It is true, and I'll explain it. And this story about Abraham and the idols was actually found, the Ramban is quoting the Rambam, who says he found a non-Jewish source for it.
This is one of the few like times he's positively quoting the Rambam, not arguing with the Rambam.
Positive quote in the Rambam, at least that the story exists.
Right.
Okay, quotes it,
Well, actually,
Hizkir
does the Rambam criticize the Rambam, or they just have different approaches?
well, there are points where he explicitly says that the Rambam is wrong and just can't possibly write, and no one should ever read it. But
Okay.
the Ramban says that about everybody disagree. I mean, he doesn't hold back.
Right.
What's the expression he uses about the Ibn Ezra about? Avan Nisteret v'Ocheach Bikuach Megula, or something like that. Hidden love and open debate. He only argues
Yeah.
because he respects him.
Right.
Ramban wouldn't argue with me. Okay, so this is, he's like quoting the Rambam. He found the Egyptian old farmer's almanac. I have no
Oh,
idea what book this is. Rambam's quoting it. that Avram was born in the city of Kuta in Samaria, Chalak al Dat Hamon, and he disagreed with the popular opinion, She'ovdim HaShemesh, that they served the sun, Natan HaMelech Oto B'Vid HaSohar, and the king threw him into jail, V'ya'imahem B'toch HaKot, Ramim Rabim Sham, and he was there being viewed for many years, many days, V'chakach Pachar HaMelech She'eshkita Lav Artso, and then the king eventually decided that he was just, yeah, that Avram is going to cause too much trouble in his land. Yasir ben Adame Imratam, he's going to pull people from their faith. V'garash Oto El Ketzei Eretz Kanaan, and then exiled him. This again, this is from this Sefer Ikarim Mitzrayim. They were exiled to the far ends of the earth, to Eretz Kanaan, Asher Achar Shelakach Kolhono, after taking away all his property. So that's the story that the Rambam quotes. Ne'al Kol Panim. Makom hu be'eretz kasdim. So, however we understand it, Nasa nes la'Avraham Avinu, a miracle happened to Avraham in Ur Kasdim. O nes nistar, it was either a nes nistar, a hidden miracle, she'natam b'lev oto ha'melech la'tzilo, the king, instead of killing him, threw him out, v'shelo yimitenu, without killing him, v'tzio tum b'et ha'sohar, she'elch l'nafsho, they let him out of jail and let him go free, Ones mufursam, or an open miracle, sheshlichu l'kiv shal esh, that was thrown into the furnace, and benitzal, and he was saved, k'divrei rabbeinu, the way the Medrash goes. Okay? And it's the way he said that, al kol panim, right? Like, you know, you can read it, you can tell the story either way. We don't know what actually happened. But there was a hotza'ah from Ur Kasdim. Either the fact that he made it out alive was a miracle, or they had this explicit miracle of the fire there. Either way, it's the same thing, same message. Okay, so what is Avram doing? Why was he thrown into the prison? Why is he thrown into the furnace? Why does he need this miracle? Because his mission was preaching his ethical monotheism. We know that once he gets there, Canaan, that's exactly what he does. He spends his whole time, you know, first beginning of Lech Lecha Ve'etek Mishamahari, he travels to the mountains, Mikedem Beit El, El. Beit Allah, pitch a tent, Beit El Miyam, Ba'ai Miketim, goes between Beit El and I, east and west. Levan Shem is Be'ach Lashem, builds an altar to God, Ba'ikra B'Shem Hashem. That expression happens over and over again. He calls out in the name of God. That's what he
Why did he have to wait to go to Eretz Canaan to do that?
He didn't. The mission said before he went to Canaan. He was still living in Haran. Okay? The idea that when he goes to Canaan, right?
Oh, okay, sorry.
He goes from Haran to Canaan because God says, Lech Lecha, Rabban ben Chamesh Shanim B'Shim Shana. He's 75. That's the way we're talking about. We don't have the backstory. But at that point, takes Lot, Sarai, takes Lot, all everything they have, Asher Rashu.
Oh, right. Bet HaNefesh Asher HaNefesh
Asher HaNefesh. We know that line. The souls
right,
so made in Haran, and they go to Canaan, as Rashi says, Sheikh Nisan Taka Kanfeashkina. He had been converted. He had his cult back in Haran as well.
Right.
Many people, Abraham Megerat Hashem, Vesara Megerat Hashem, Mala Aliam Katuki Ilu Asa'um. It's like he made them that Nefes, the souls they made in Haran. He's right, he's been doing this time. And the implication of the way you're reading the Parsha is that Abraham was doing that back in Ur Kasdim as well. Okay, that's what we understand. That's what he's doing with Terach and his idols. He's arguing with them even then that there, you know, once we start having these polytheism, there is no supreme order in the universe. There's got to be some supreme order. We've got it. There's only got to be one creator of all of this together. And the powers that be tried to pull Socrates on him. Okay, you know, Socrates was executed for a lack of faith and corrupting the youth. Okay. Same thing. His asbesia. That's our words. That's our word of the day.
Asbesia.
Asbesia. That's the Greek for irreverence toward the state gods and lack of piety toward the government.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know the reference to et hanefesh asherasa.
You never heard that's the Rashi. Let me look at that again.
I mean, probably many times, but what is it?
So, okay, so let's go get inside. So when he comes from Haran, Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, Avram comes from Haran with his wife, Lot ben Achiv, and with his nephew, Kol Shama Asher Rashko, and all their property, Bet HaNefesh Asher Asu b'Haran.
Oh, right. The
and all the
converts?
souls that they made in Haran.
Oh, yeah.
Rashi
Okay.
says that's
Right.
Their converts that they came with them. Right? He doesn't come alone. He comes with his religious group. He's been preaching this in Haran, and okay, from
oh,
here,
yeah.
He's preaching this
Okay.
in Ur Kasdim as well.
So Terach was like a good father, right? He's
That's where we're heading from here.
Oh,
Okay.
good. Okay.
Now,
oh.
Not, Terach's not throwing him into the flames because he thinks he's, you know, I mean, he's coming with him, right?
Yeah.
That's my point, is that Hashem saves him, but when he says Hashem says Asher hotziacha me'ur kasdim, the tool that Hashem used was by Terach and Avram, by Tzur Adam. Terach is one who takes him out of Ur Kasdim and bring him to Haran. He's still there. So, let me quote Rabbi Eisenman again. It's from a different book. I did get Rabbi Eisenman's book. Came much faster than I thought. Okay, so see if I quote again. This is from his Haggadah that Leah bought me. Thank you.
Oh, yay. You're welcome.
Okay,
and
there's a pasuk we quote in the Haggadah. Right, we start with Mitchila Obde Avodah Zara Hayovatena. Our ancestors worshipped idols. Bachshav Kevano Lamakom Lubavatel, and Hashem has brought us to his service. Shenemar, and as we quote from Yeshua, this is Yeshua's kind of final speech to the people. Vayomer Yeshua Kol Am, verse 12. Omar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, thus saith the Lord, Eivra Nar Yeshua Votechem Me'olam. Our ancestors came from the other side of the Euphrates, from way back. Terach Abi Avraham Bari Nachor. Terach was the father of Avraham and Nachor. Vayavdu Elohim Achrim. They worshipped other gods. The Kachet Abichem at Avraham Me'Avranar. And I took Avraham from the other side of the river. Olecha Tobukol Eretz Canaan. And I brought him through Eretz Canaan. The Erev Arbet Zaro Vetenlo Yitzchak. And I increases his descendants. And I gave him Yitzchak. And it goes through the history from there. And so he says, Rabbi Eisman says, is somehow the ear cringes at the formulation. Terach is our father, right? That Terach was part of Avotenu when Brachot 16 teaches us that the three patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are called Avot. Surely this means that with Avram there came a new beginning, and we, his descendants, know only him as a father, never Terach and those who went before.
Hmm.
Right? Yeshua calls Terach a part of Avotenu. He says, you know, that's not wrong. In the way the Medrash is looking at it, Terach was still had a dedication to his avodah, and was still willing to learn from Abraham that our forefathers were indeed among these idol worshippers. Terach must have been passionately indeed to have been willing to consign his rebel son Abraham to the searing flames of Nimrod's furnace. Shocking as it may sound, we could read these readiness for the ultimate sacrifice as a forerunner of the Akedah.
Oh, interesting.
Like the idea of faith. Abraham learns that from Terach.
Very
Terach,
interesting.
Seriously. Okay, and you're right. We don't worship the statues. You know that. They represent something. They represent the multiple powers in the world. And we have to talk about this. And it says this is the solution. In this one small, not so small matter, we trace our descent to Terach. That which enables us to navigate the taut and narrow wire that leads from Kherut to Avdut, that we have the service to Hashem, that we learn from Terach. And freeing, Abraham learns his power of faith from Terach, his father. And the other side of it is his father continues to support him even as Abram goes into exile for his insane cult, right? That is, as Bestia is denying the state gods, Terach goes with him. And so they sort of support each other. And I think that's an important lesson for our relationship with our children.
Yes.
You know, both from Baal Tshuva, representing, you know, rebelling against parents, and for when children go off the derech, you don't cut off contact.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Abraham and Terach stayed in contact with each other.
And no but he did go to Canaan.
He did.
Beit Avicha,
right? But still, right? We'll see that. And, you know, the idea that goes, and no matter how wrong our parents are, because our parents are always wrong, right? We know that is, until we disagree with our own kids and realize our parents were right the whole time, we still have much to learn from them.
I've had many moments.
When you, then you when you realize,
I understand.
Yes.
And my kid's only
that,
four.
And that And that point in Parsha Vayera, we have this line. It's almost a throwaway line, right? After the Akedah. After these things, Abraham got the news. That Milcah, Nachar's wife, had kids. Okay? And the implication of that, that after that, he said, leave everything. Abraham is still getting letters from his family. He doesn't cut them off. He's still in contact with all of
them. Still in WhatsApp group together.
That's right. But you know how any idea how slow the internet is when it travels by camel? Okay. And that's the implication of this by Yikach Terach Avram Beno, is that Terach and Avram, even though they clearly disagreed on this profoundly, basic nature of faith and reality, still realized that they had each other. I think that's a very positive sign. And that's very nice. A nice way. So that when you see this, the Lech Lecha is not really cutting off all contacts. Not he still maintains that connection, even though he's starting his own life here in Cana.
That's nice.
And I will end there.
Except, it's on its head. Like, Abraham is going toward the truth, and his father follows him to the truth and learns from him. But
okay, we don't know that. I mean, Terach doesn't give up his Avodah Zarah. We never see that.
Right.
Okay.
And then the son who goes off the Derech, like, he's supposed to, like...
And I would work it both ways. It's okay. Now, from our point of view, obviously, we have the right answers. So you have non-religious parents and a Baal Teshuva kid.
Right.
I would argue should not be cutting off contact, just like Abraham. And the same thing is true. From our point of view, it's the kid going off the derech that we're talking about. The kid going off derech is, hopefully we'll keep that as well. But that's important too, is that, someone going off derech, you don't cut them off.
Right. Right.
They have something to learn from you, and you may well have to learn from them.
From Terech's perspective, Abraham was going off the derech.
Off the derech, right? Terach had a whole theology how things work.
Yeah.
And obviously, Terach and Abraham just mocking him by doing the beating up the idols thing. Because Terach knows well the idols aren't actually gods. They are there. But still.
Wait. So in this, scheme, why does Terach take him to Nimrod?
The way he sets up, he sets up his theological argument. I imagine he hopes that Aram is going to be convinced. He brings him to the capital, with all where all the big priests are.
Oh, he wants Abraham to learn.
Truth, right?
Betraying him and turning him in.
He's not. I know. I would not read this as turning him in, because otherwise, then why is he going with him to Canaan?
Right. Right.
He's not turning him into the secret police. He's gonna bring him to the central temple. Right. We'll talk about truth. Get the big rabbis to bless him.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't happen that way.
Right. So wait, I have another question. who was it that believed in Abraham and then he got thrown in and killed?
That was Haran, Abraham's brother. His brother.
So
he didn't believe
Poharan?
In Abraham. What?
Why did he get that? Why did he die that way?
We didn't analyze that part of it, but the argument in that he wasn't, he was simply saying, I'm just going to go with whoever wins. He didn't believe anything.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
Either way, Im Netzach Avram Ana Amar Min Avram Min Da Avram Ana. If Avram comes out of the head, I'm going to say I'm on Avram's side. Im Netzach Nimrod Ana Amar De Nimrod Ana. If Nimrod comes ahead, I'm going to go with him. He doesn't have any convictions.
Because it seemed like, here he is. He's loyal to Avram. And then he gets...
The way the story is written, he's explicitly not loyal to Abraham.
Yeah.
He just said, Abraham got out, so I guess I'll stick with Abraham. I mean, this part of it needs to be fleshed out and thought about a little bit more as well.
And that was his brother. Wow. His
brother.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to say good night.
Okay, good night.
Good morning.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Peace.